All right, before we dig into today, let's talk about next week. All right, next week, Fairmount begins our annual summer book study series. We always walk through a book or two during the summer. We've been doing that now for, 12, 13, 14 years or something like that. I think it's a nice way to keep us connected during the summer, because it's during the summer I think we're the least connected. We're traveling more. We're more distracted with stuff going on with family and all that, with vacations and everything. So I think it's good to go through one book of the Bible together. It's always good to go through one book of the Bible together. That's a healthy exercise in and of itself. But while we're away, you can still keep up with where we are. You can obviously tune in online, as we have folks doing every Sunday. You can do that when you're traveling. But I just think it's nice, it's good to all be reading the same thing and working on the same thing together. So we're going to do a series starting next week called Trail Guide. Think hiking. Think trail signs in the middle of the forest somewhere where you're hiking. We're going to follow the life trail that Paul gives the church in 1st and 2nd Thessalonians. So find that this week, 1st and 2nd Thessalonians, and that's what we're going to work through this summer. In 1st Thessalonians 1, Paul refers to the church. He calls the church there in Thessalonica, the little church there. He refers to them as a model church. And so he lays out for them ways in which they can continue to follow Christ in the midst of life's chaos. Life is chaotic, if you haven't noticed. Life is crazy. And 1st and 2nd Thessalonians provide for us a trail to follow to have success in the midst of all of the chaos of this world. So I hope you'll be here each Sunday. When you're not, you know where to find us. You know where to get us online. You can follow along. We're basically going to do one chapter a week for the most part. So for next Sunday, read 1 Thessalonians 1, okay? 1 Thessalonians 1. By next Sunday, I want you to have it memorized, okay? All right, can you do that? That was just a joke. You don't have to. You can, but you don't have to. All right, 1 Thessalonians 1 will be in next week. Now, today, Bill's already been talking some about VBS. How could you miss VBS with all of the one? Have you walked down the hall and seen the big fish that you walk through? That's pretty awesome. I don't know what thoughts come to your mind when you think of Vacation Bible School. I'm one of those that absolutely love VBS, and I have loved it all my life. So my memories of VBS are all great. I love that we do it every year. A lot of churches don't do it anymore. I still think it's awesome and a great thing. And when I was a child, and when I was a kid, you know, my brothers and I, we went to church every Sunday and we loved it. We had friends there and then, you know, friends back in our neighborhood, but it was during VBS. I got to be with my church friends every single day for a week. And I love that. So my church friends and then my friends, I bring friends from the neighborhood. All my friends were together for the entire week at VBS, and I loved it. I loved all the Bible memory that we do, because you'd always get some cool prizes. I love that. I remember distinctly the ring cookies. You know what I'm talking about? Ring cookies? The cookies that you can wear like a ring. You know, remember those? Some people call them butter cookies. I call them ring cookies. Some lady told me after once, or she says, we call them year-round VBS cookies. I went, there you go, VBS cookies. But any food that you can turn into jewelry is a good thing. And so ring cookies, I still remember those. And then I remember the cool crafts that we used to make that my mom, no joke, she kept for decades. She kept all this stuff. When she passed away and I inherited all her stuff, I sold all that stuff on eBay for thousands of dollars. No, just kidding. But I remember distinctly, I still remember this day, my mom had in her house, I mean, for decades, this glass jar, I think it was like a honey jar, maybe, I don't know, that I had painted at VBS a sun, an S-U-N, with a smiley face on it. And I had painted that on the side of a jar, and she kept that for decades. And I think used it kind of like a flower vase. I'd walk into her house, and I'd say to my children, I made that. They were never very impressed. But anyway, I was impressed, and I was pretty cool. But that was all at VBS. Great memories that I have. 50 years later, Fairmount has now taken VBS to another level, and it is just a total different thing now than it was when I was a kid. We have a four-tiered program. We have a preschool VBS, an elementary VBS, a teen VBS, an adult VBS. We moved it to the evenings. When I was a kid, it was always in the morning. We moved it to the evenings so that more people could participate in it. We added an adult class. class for all of you who bring your kids and you're not volunteering. You have a class you can go to, or if you don't have kids but you just want to come up here. We have an adult class. It's awesome. We have a family fun night on Thursday night after it's all over. We go out to the field out here with inflatables and free ice cream and food trucks. We actually started that during the pandemic. That was a great innovation that we started during the pandemic. And then every night, as we've already referred to today, we do a pie in the face. If you're new to Fairmount, I tried stopping that several years ago, and there was like a riot. Well, every night we give somebody a pie in the face, depending on whether the boys raise the most money for missions or the girls raise the most money for missions. So we have a segregated offering, buckets and so forth. Bill has already told you what our mission offering is going for Ukrainian relief. So you can participate in that every night. You can go online through our pay portal and give through that. But we raise money for missions, and we have fun with it every night by giving somebody a pie. If the boys raise the most, a woman gets a pie. If the girls, a guy, you know. Tonight, we always start with high school seniors. And so tonight, we have cousins going up against each other. We have Mackenzie Nelson going up against her cousin, Jared Filliger. And so you, whichever one of them you want to see get a pie in the face, you can donate that tonight. We'll have a different pair up there every night, and it is a lot of fun. And I hope that you'll be here for part of that. If you can come only one night, come one night. If you can come all five nights, come all five nights. It doesn't matter. It's fun no matter how much you're able to participate in. For me, Vacation Bible School is a wonderful time for refreshment and revival. That's what I think makes it such a wonderful, unique week in the life of our church. It's this incredible combination of Sunday morning Bible school wrapped up with revival, homecoming, reunion, and carnival, all wrapped into one event for the course of the week. And it is a great week. I personally invite you to come. I do not think you'll be disappointed. If you are disappointed, I will personally refund your money, okay? All right, I'll refund your money for our free VBS. I will refund it. All right, this year's water-based theme, I think, is especially refreshing. You know, the last couple days with all the rain, that's been really refreshing, hasn't it? I mean, it's been wonderful. My yard had burned up. My neighbor's yards had all burned up. We all were, you know, like living in the desert, you know? And then this rain has just come and just dumped and dumped and dumped, and it's like refreshing here on our land. I know the farmers in the area are thrilled with all of the rain. At its finest, water refreshes. Rain in the midst of drought refreshes. A bottle of water after a strenuous workout refreshes. A dip in the pool on a hot August day refreshes. You walk through one of those mists at King's Dominion or at Busch Gardens, and it refreshes you. A shower after you've been working out in the yard all day, that refreshes you. Water refreshes. Jesus says in John 7:38, whoever believes in me, as Scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow from within them. Wow. That sounds so refreshing. It sounds like something that I most definitely want to have. It sounds like something I bet everybody in this room would like to have. John 7:38 is the theme verse for our VBS this year. The theme is make waves. You've seen that in everything if you've walked in our building. The subtitle is make waves. What you do today can change the world around you. I love that. And the theme verse, whoever believes in me, rivers of living water will flow from within them. That's an amazing passage of Scripture. The theme of water is a consistent theme in the Gospel of John. John references water 23 times, which is just about as much as all the other three Gospels combined. He has this interest in pointing out the water aspects of Jesus' life and Jesus' teaching. When it comes to water, Jesus is baptized in it. He walks on it. He turns it into wine. He uses it in his teachings. He offers it to the thirsty. John even tells us that after Jesus died, when the soldier came up to him as he was still hanging on the cross and stabbed him in the side, that blood and water flowed from the body of our Lord. Now, John 7:38 occurs in the midst of the Feast of Tabernacles. The Feast of Tabernacles was one of the three great feasts that the Jewish people had in that era. The Roman Jewish historian Josephus tells us that it was the most important, most holy feast of all of them. This is a Thanksgiving for harvest feast. It was a happy time for the people. In fact, actually, they had a custom where if you were a devout Jew, you actually would build a shelter outside of your home with tree branches. The scriptures called them, depending on your translation, calls them either tabernacles or booths, B-O-O-T-H-S, depending on your translation. They would build these outside their home. And so for a whole week, folks would camp outside with their family, with their friends. They would enjoy basically reenacting the time when God's people were wandering through the wilderness. But of course, he had brought them to the promised land, and so now they were rejoicing in that. The feast signified God's always never-ending, God's always presence with his people. And then Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us, shows up at the feast and begins teaching. The scriptures tell us here in John chapter 7 that on the last day of the feast, this is the most important day of the feast, one final time, a priest would take a golden pitcher from the temple. He would walk down the steps to the pool of Gihon. He would scoop up some water from that pool. He would then, with great fanfare, walk back up the steps and then would take that golden pitcher full of water and he would pour it on the altar, celebrating the water that came out of the rock while people were in the wilderness. This is where Jesus makes his grand statement. On the last and greatest day of the festival, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, "Let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as Scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow from within him." By this he meant the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were later to receive. Up to that time, the Spirit had not been given, since Jesus had not yet been glorified. We know that will come after the resurrection, day of Pentecost. The Holy Spirit comes, and now it's in every person who follows Christ. Now, here at Fairmount, since January, we have been paying increased attention to the Holy Spirit. With revival going on throughout the nation and really around the world, it was prudent to focus on the source of revival, and the source of revival is God's Holy Spirit. So we spent the first 14 weeks of 2023 talking about the Spirit. We talked about spiritual disciplines, how those get us in tune with the Holy Spirit. We talked about what the Holy Spirit does inside of each and every one of us. And we talked about how the Holy Spirit motivates us to service, motivates us to ministry. We took shape, lots of us took shape assessments and learned exactly how the Holy Spirit is shaping us for ministry. So as we step into VBS this week, we again are reminded of the power of the Holy Spirit working in our lives, working in the lives of children, in the lives of teens, in the lives of all of us. The Holy Spirit will make waves when we allow Him to do so. Now, our kids this week, they're going to focus on such diverse biblical accounts where the Spirit plays a critical role. They're going to talk about creation. They're going to talk about Philip and the Ethiopian. They're going to talk about the fruit of the Spirit. They're going to talk about all these places where God's Spirit makes waves in amazing and inspiring ways. This morning, I want us to dig in a little bit to the wave-making power of the Holy Spirit that's in our lives. I want us to focus on what Jesus in the Gospel of John has to say about this powerful, living water, Holy Spirit that's in his people. All right, that's what I want us to talk about today. John makes sure that we all know that Jesus will change you. Jesus will change you. His living water makes waves in your life. His living water will make waves in your life. It will change you. One of the other powerful water teaching lessons from John comes in John chapter 4. You have John chapter 7 with the Feast of Tabernacles. You have John chapter 4. This is where Jesus and his disciples walk through Samaria. That was unheard of. Jews hated Samaritans so much so that they would go out of their way to get to where they're going so as not to walk through Samaria. But this is Jesus. And Jesus he loves everybody. And so Jesus, no, we're not going around. We're going through it. And so Jesus and his disciples walk right into what his disciples would have referred to as enemy territory, what they would have thought of as enemy territory. So then the disciples go off to get food. Jesus sits by Jacob's well and he waits. He waits for the one specific person that he came into Samaria to meet. And when she arrives, Jesus asks her to give him a drink of water. And then as their conversation progresses, Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water." "Sir, you have nothing to draw with and the well is deep. Where can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did also his sons and his livestock?" Jesus answered, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life." Now that's good water. The living water of Jesus changes you. Jesus, of course, is speaking in metaphor. But the implication, see, we're on this side of history where we've read the Gospels, we've seen the Holy Spirit in the book of Acts, we've read all of the letter, we've even read Revelation, how it all comes to an end. On this side of history, we understand this water changes you forever. Our spiritual quests are finally satisfied. We'll never be thirsty again. Our quest for truth is finally resolved. We never have to wonder what's true or be blown by the culture's version of truth today that's different from truth tomorrow. The cosmic questions of life are answered. There's purpose. There is meaning. And all of this water leads to eternal life. And when Jesus talks about eternal life, he's not just talking about heaven. That's part of it. He's talking about right now, when he is your Savior, your eternal life starts right now. The abundant life that Jesus wants to give you, that comes from this living water. And it's not just here for this life, it's into the next life as well, where the abundant life we have here through Jesus becomes even more abundant. That's good water. The water that Jesus gives creates a tsunami of change in our lives. And we're so overwhelmed, we're so overcome, we're so altered that we can't help but go and tell others. The woman, she scurries back to town to tell anyone and everyone that she meets that she has met the one who changed her life and who wants to change their life as well. She was changed. She couldn't wait to change others. We've been changed. And we can't wait to change others. You know, she didn't even know it, but she was parched and dehydrated till she was given the living water. We, before we knew Jesus, were parched and dehydrated people. Now, we are formerly parched, dehydrated people who have been given life-giving water, who now give it to parched, dehydrated masses of people around us. It's amazing. The living water of Jesus makes waves in your life. The living water of Jesus makes waves in our church. How could it not? We're all, you know, we've all been altered by this Holy Spirit living in us. We're all well hydrated now. We're full of Holy Spirit living water. We're all in the same place. We're going to make some pretty impressive waves when we're together. Jesus puts it this way in John 13. He says, "A new command I give you, love one another as I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this everyone will know that you're my disciples if you love one another." So Jesus looks around at the disciples sitting around the table there at the Last Supper. And he looks at us. He gives us the same command. Now, why is this a new command? Well, because up until that time, when you read the Old Testament, when you read how the culture said, how you love other people, Jesus says, this is a new way to love people, as I have loved you. And Jesus will die for them. Jesus died for you. That's the new commandment, to love so much that you're willing to die for others, to love so much that you willingly, sacrificially give for one another. That was new to them. Now, it's not new to us. We've been reading this now for 2,000 years. But what Jesus said 2,000 years ago is still true, still applicable, still relevant to us today. We are to love each other. And doing that is going to make waves. At Fairmount, we want to experience a tidal wave of service, a tidal wave of generosity, a tidal wave of authenticity and transparency, a tidal wave of kindness and compassion, a tidal wave of grace and forgiveness, a tidal wave of peace, of hope, a tidal wave of love. As we make waves, we're going to be constantly looking out for each other and not just for ourselves. We're going to be constantly looking on how we can serve rather than be served. And Jesus says the world will notice. They will notice a tidal wave of love coming from our church. And I guarantee you they will want what we have. The living water of Jesus makes waves in us. It makes waves in our church. And we also know that his living water makes waves in the world. Listen to Jesus as he meets with a Pharisee, somebody who was well-versed in the Word, knew the Old Testament, knew the law, knew it all, somebody who was an expert in all this good stuff. As he meets with this Pharisee named Nicodemus, he gives Nicodemus, this well-versed man in the Old Testament, he gives him a history lesson. He says to him in John 3, he says, just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes may have eternal life in him. Now hold on there just a second. What is he talking about here but snakes and all that stuff? Well, Jesus is talking here about the Israelites, again, wandering through the desert, and they grumble. If you don't remember that, they grumble. They grumble quite a bit. God got fed up with the grumbling one time, and as a punishment, he sent snakes throughout the camp to bite, to kill people, to punish them for their grumbling. So Moses calls out to the Lord, and to relieve the plague of snakes, God gives an object lesson that will apply hundreds of years later. God told Moses to fashion a bronze snake on a pole, and then anyone in the camp who looked up at the bronze snake would live. All right. So he's telling Nicodemus this. Jesus then applies that lesson to the worst plague of all. Now, personally, I can't think of any plague worse than snakes. Yeah. All right, but there is one that's worse. There's one that's worse, and that's the plague of sin. It's the plague of separation from God. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him, whoever looks up to him for salvation, shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. See, this is the message the world needs to hear. This is the message the world's desperate to hear. They just don't know it. With Jesus, the goal is not condemnation. The goal is salvation. With Jesus, the goal is not an eternity in hell. The goal is eternal life. Imagine, if you can, for just a moment, every Christian, everybody who calls on the name of Jesus, everybody who's a follower of Christ, transformed by the living water. Imagine if you can. And then imagine every church energized by the living water. Imagine what we could do in the world. The violence that plagues our streets, the addictions that plague our homes, the confusion that plagues our culture, the hunger and homelessness that plague our communities, the loneliness and desperation that plague our neighborhoods, the anxiety and worry that plagues our lives. Imagine every Christian transformed by the living water, every church energized by the living water. Imagine what we could do in the world. We could make some real waves. Whether you attend VBS or not, let our Lord encourage you today through this wonderful VBS theme. Let Him encourage you today to delight in the living water of Jesus. Embrace it. Drink deeply of it. Live through it. Be motivated by it, inspired by it, enriched by it. Delight in the living water of Jesus. Let it flow from you in your words and your thoughts and your attitudes, your actions, all of which are seen and experienced by everyone around you. Delight in the living water of Jesus. Let it flow from you and ultimately change your world. Change your world through the living water of Jesus. A couple years ago, several years ago now, Betsy and I wanted to go out and get a, you know, see a movie. You know, sometimes you get a movie. I want to go see a movie. Well, we didn't have any movie in mind. In fact, we actually looked up the movies on, you know, Fandango or whatever. And there wasn't really anything like, you know, oh, we got to go see that. So I think I'd read somewhere in an article about some indie movie that had come out that was supposed to be really good, and, you know, not famous or anything like that. And it was. It was really good. It was a movie called The Impossible. And it starred Naomi Watts, and Ewan McGregor, and then a young Tom Holland before he was Spider-Man. And so, you know, some pretty famous folks in it. Anyway, the movie was about the 2004 tsunami that struck the nations surrounding the Indian Ocean, the Indian Ocean tsunami of 2004. They were in the movie. This is a European couple, family vacationing in Thailand when the tsunami hit the seaside community they were vacationing in, and just the devastation pictured in a Hollywood movie. I could not even fathom the actual devastation. It was, I mean, on screen it was unwatchable. Imagine reality. And the movie's about this family and them, you know, they're all separated by this huge wave. And so it's about them coming back together, you know, trying to find each other in the midst of all this chaos. If you can handle all the violence and all that stuff, I would encourage it. It's a great movie to watch. As I spent all week thinking about waves, I could not help but think, and that's kind of weird, but I couldn't help but think about that wave. And when that happened, millions of Christians, thousands of churches around the world contributed money to help. Most of those nations are Islamic nations that surround, you know, the Indian Ocean, and we didn't care. They were hurting people. And so we sent relief funds by the billions, you know, to help out folks there devastated by. That's what the church does, right? That's what we do. When folks are hurting, we help. When folks are in need, we help. You know, I mean, that's what our church, we don't just wait for a tsunami. We do it all the time. Today we have people in Poland helping Ukrainian refugees. We help feed the homeless here in our own community. We help moms struggling with pregnancies. I mean, the list goes on and on. All the things we do to help people constantly. This is what the church does. So I got thinking this week, wouldn't it be awesome if, and I didn't really know the word, you know, what's the opposite of a tsunami? Is there an opposite of a tsunami? I don't know, but wouldn't it be awesome if we could have a tsunami of Christ love coming out from the church and change this world around us? A lady came up to me after the last service and she says, I came up with a word. I went, oh, okay, I love words. She said, it's not a tsunami, it's a tsunami-you. I went, oh, all right. That was pretty good. Where we go out from the church and we impact you. We impact the world for Jesus. Friends, today, through a simple VBS theme, we are encouraged to leave this place and go make some waves. Go make waves in your neighborhood. Make waves at your workplace. Make waves at your school when you get back to school this August. Make waves at the pool. Make waves on your ball team. Make waves at the gym. Make waves in your neighborhood. Make waves. Let's get out there and have a tidal wave of Christ-like love and service to the world around us. Our world is desperate for the love of Jesus, and we have it. They are thirsty, parched, dehydrated, and we have the water that can save them. Let's share that water today. During this time of commitment, this last song that we sing, just listen to the challenge of Jesus today. I'll add one last one, and then I'll get out of the way. And that is, if you've never given your life to Jesus, today is the day to drink of that living water. We baptize people in water. It's not the water. Jesus wasn't talking about water. He was talking about the change that comes when you give your life to Christ. We can baptize you today in that baptistry right over there, and you will have eternal life in the promise of the Holy Spirit. If you've never given your life to Christ today, come find me right over. I'll be right over there. Come find me. We will talk about it. We'll pray about it. And we'll start you on that path of living water for eternal life. Let's stand. Let's sing.